Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
The political chaos continues in Virginia. It's been 3 days since a racist photo surfaced from the 1984 medical school yearbook of Governor Ralph Northam. Today, he told his cabinet that he needs more time to make a decision about his political future. We're at the political roundtable tonight talking about this issue that is changing literally moment by moment. My guests are Dr. Lorenzo Morris, political science professor here at Howard University, and Jesse Holland, race and ethnicity reporter with the Associated Press. What do you think? We're talking about it. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Professor, thank you so much for joining me. Jesse, thanks for joining me. Let's get right into it. Professor, I'll let you take this question first, and then Jesse, what's taking him so long to step down?
Well, it's the end of a recent political rise that only goes back in terms of his lifetime, 12 years. And once you admit on the left of the political establishment that you are marred by a racially harsh and racist past, there is probably no coming back. So he has to make the decision that he can't be effective, and two, that his political career is significantly damaged, if not curtailed, for the future. But also because I think that he doesn't have anybody to go to on the Democratic Party, in the leadership, or even apparently in Virginia, to give him good counsel at this point.
And that's interesting because right now there are no Democrats that are seeming to even remotely give him any support. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser came out today. Minority Leader of the Senate Chuck Schumer came out also today. What's going on here, Jesse? Why does he need more time?
Well, here's the thing. As far as the Democratic Party is concerned, Ralph Northam's career is over. So what he's arguing and what he's fighting over now is his legacy. He doesn't, and I think he actually said this, he doesn't want to leave being known as a racist. So he's trying to figure out see if there's a way he can rewrite quickly what right now is going to be his legacy. And that's what he's trying to spend time trying to figure out, what is going to be his next act, what can he do to change the perception that people have of him right now. And that I think that's what he's waiting on. Also, you have to ask yourself, and I'm sure Governor Northam is asking himself this as well, at what point does he worry about what's good for the Democratic Party versus what's good for himself as a politician and as his legacy? So Democrats want him gone because it's best for the Democratic Party. Ralph Northam is probably asking himself, well, what's best for me?
Well, as far as the Democrats are concerned, Professor, it appears that they want to make sure that they are on the right side of history when it comes to politicians who have demonstrated issues regarding racism or prejudice, and that they ask Republicans to step down when these kinds of things, or step out of races or the like. So they want to make sure that they are equally yoked, if I will, when it comes to their own party.
Yeah, but the Democrats, like any general liberal population, would want to be the standard bearers of the right thing to do. And they want to be able to use it to show and expose those who don't meet reasonable standards in the current quality of racial progress of the post-Obama period. But the problem is that the people they want to attack or the people they may see as not meeting that standard, such as Congressman King and others, are still insulated by their party. So you need to be purer on this side, on the Democratic side. The problem there is that there is, I think, some ambiguity about the way in which this issue emerged, because it was stimulated by conservative Breitbart-linked writers, the same ones that went after some black public officials in earlier times. And there's a question of the extent to which purity on the Democratic Party side will never be matched by purity on the Republican side, or even progress on the Republican side, so that Northam needs to go. But how Northam goes needs to be considered a recognition of a good standard that the Democrats can run on as a standard for the nation. And the problem with that, they have to spend so much time focusing on Northam as an individual that you can only get a universal standard by people saying that Northam needs to go, but not a standard that they can automatically take into the campaigns against Trump or against Trump-like Congress members. And that is where I think Northam is clinging to the idea that somehow he can separate his name from that standard,
which may be very hard to do. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and that racist photo of a man in blackface and a man in a Ku Klux Klan robe and hood posted on his 1984 med school yearbook on his page. That's Eastern Virginia Medical School, as a matter of fact. Now, if you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Jesse, this morning he had his regularly scheduled Monday cabinet staff meeting. It was described by those who were in attendance as emotional and tense. Look into your crystal ball and tell me, what was it that he could have possibly said, particularly since last night it was reported that he had meetings with his staff that were minorities?
Well, here's what Ralph Northam is probably trying to do. He is probably sounding out as many people as possible, trying to figure out one of two things. A, how can I stay? Or B, what's the best way for me to go? And, I mean, it's going to be a hard, lonely road for him for a while because, and especially among the Democratic Party, he's not going to find too many supporters, if any supporters. Because keep in mind, black Democrats are the base of the party. They are the ones who show up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lost the trust of many black Democrats because of this.
But but here's my question. If I'm a member of his cabinet, if I'm, you know, the secretary of elections or whatever, and you're telling me, you know, how do I do this? I'm going to be flat footed and plain spoken. I'm thinking, so if, yeah, you should leave, but when you leave, I'm not going to have a job.
Right, right. Well, okay, first of all, we have to always keep in mind that he says now he didn't do it.
Right.
So he claims he's innocent. So if he's innocent, then he's probably saying, well, he's probably now saying, I'm innocent. I didn't do this. How do I convince people of this?
Well, but see, here's the thing, Professor Morris, about convincing people. This photograph was on your yearbook page. This was 1984. You're 25 years old. You're not 15. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, why haven't we heard from Eastern Virginia Medical School about this? I just can't imagine that this kind of thing would be printed.
It's almost like asking, why hasn't the other person in the photo come forward?
Exactly.
Nobody's coming forward. But, you know, the picture in itself is what I would say is not actionable politically. It is the fact that the picture links to his current authority, that there's something there that makes weakens his authority because it weakens his legitimacy, his credibility. And that's where his denial is even more problematic. If you see the photo and you think, well, maybe it was me, it means that you don't think that's important enough in your current. So that brings it to the present. And then if you say, oh, well, I blackfaced at other times. And sure,
yeah,
but not this time. Blackface to imitate Michael Jackson, that really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right.
But then you also have the Kuhn minute. That takes it out of 1984,
yes.
And it brings it to the present because it means it's your judgment about what happened then. And, you know, authority depends on the kind of legitimacy. It means credibility, respectability. And that is where he is weak, but it also is contagious because if the Democratic Party lets him stay there, it means that their values are weak, too. It means that the relevance of Black Party presence in the leadership is shaky. On the other hand, and this is where a real dilemma comes in. If he's forced out in a very crude a way that reflects the kind of racism that's in there, it would serve to weaken a bit of the coalition in the legislature for a while because the Republicans are still a strong force there and they can draw on that.
But they still have the House, even if it's by one.
Yeah, but for a marginal set electorate, because who knows how many other people. They may not have those pictures, but how many other people can be intimidated?
Yeah, how about that? Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about that racist photograph in the 1984 medical school yearbook of Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. Let's talk to Mary. Mary, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hey, you know, you just echoed my thoughts, my sentiments exactly. Why haven't we heard from the school? These things are in the archives. Why can't they come out and say this was in that yearbook? It was on that page. That will settle it. Or why can't we do a forensic examination and see if that was really a Photoshop or if it was a real thing? Because we have to be very careful not to lynch this guy.
We have to be careful not to do what?
Not to lynch him. Like they said in Clarence Thomas? They say it was lynching. You know what I mean? So we got to be very careful not to portray like we're trying to lynch him and push him out and all of that.
Well, I think it may be too late for that, Mary, to be quite honest. Jesse, what do you think? I don't think we have Photoshop to worry about from a yearbook in 1984.
And if it really wasn't on there, believe me, Governor Northam wasn't the only person to get a copy of that yearbook. Believe me, when this story came out Friday, everybody who went to school with him that had a copy of that yearbook went and flipped that yearbook open to look for that page. And I haven't seen any of his classmates say, well, nope, this picture isn't in my yearbook.
Yeah.
So I automatically assume, since nobody from his class has said that page is missing from their yearbook, that is in there. Now, I haven't done the research on it myself. So one of the things that I'm, and once again, let me just say, I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that page reflects what actually was in that page from back then, because we haven't seen anybody else from that medical school come out and say, you know what, I have a copy of that yearbook, it's not in mine. And believe me, that would be the first thing people would do.
Absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the racist photo and the political implications for Governor Ralph Northam. And let us not forget that Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is having some political problems of his own. We're going to discuss that as well. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we're going to be taking as many calls as we can up until 8 o'clock on Sirius XM. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back with this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Both of them are wrong, but there's a contrast between the blackface and someone standing there in a Ku Klux Klan outfit and me dressed up in a Michael Jackson costume for a dance contest.
That is Governor Ralph Northam on Saturday during a press conference when he was talking about a racist photo that surfaced from his 1984 medical school yearbook at Eastern Virginia Medical School. We are talking about all of the political implications surrounding, I was going to say pending exit, but we just don't know that yet. Whether or not he's going to stay or if he's going to go, my guests are Dr. Lorenzo Morris, political science professor here at Howard University, and Jesse Holland, race and ethnicity reporter with the Associated Press. Let me go back to the phone lines. Joe calling from D.C. Joe, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm calling to say that the picture that was shown of Governor Northam.
Well, we don't know whether or not that was him. He says it wasn't, but it was on his yearbook page. But please go right ahead, Joe.
Right. Now, with that particular picture, it doesn't show positivity for us and what he comes to do for our community, although Governor Northam is doing a lot of things for Virginia and for our community, removing the tolls off of the toll roads, and trying to get minority-owned businesses, major contracts in the Virginia Beach area. And this man has been in office and held several different positions. And all of a sudden now that he is starting to affect the bigger money, the white money, I think now they're digging up all of this stuff. And no sooner as this comes out, now all of a sudden they want to slander the lieutenant governor.
Right.
So this is something that they could have seen this years ago, but he's starting to affect their money, and he's starting to move in directions that I think is positive for our community. No, it's not right what he did, and I do believe that's him in the picture.
Which one, the blackface or the Klan robe?
I believe he's the one in the blackface.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to say because he's already admitted to putting on blackface.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Joe, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit about this connected issue, which is Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. Just a couple of weeks ago during the celebration or honoring of Civil War General Robert E. Lee, he sat out of that recognition, that celebration of Robert E. Lee's quote-unquote contributions to the state of Virginia. Well, now he is standing literally at the precipice of being elevated to governor should Governor Northam step down. But he is now having to deal with an accusation of sexual assault at the Democratic National Convention back in 2004 in Boston. The Washington Post, while they investigated this story, which came to them in 2017, they did not print a story because, according to a statement by the Washington Post, that there was not any corroborating evidence in that story. Jesse, is Fairfax also in trouble now, or do you think that he can survive this should Northam step down?
We don't know the answer to that question yet. First of all, we don't know if Northam is going to step down, A, and B, we don't have any idea of the accusations or the rumors or whatever you want to call it against Lieutenant Governor Fairfax. I will say that we are in an era where if any of these accusations, even if any of these rumors end up being in any way true, Fairfax will have a hard row to hoe himself. But right now, unless there's something that can be proven to be true, I don't think right now Fairfax has anything to worry about unless there is some proof out there that we haven't seen yet.
Your thoughts about that, Professor Morris?
Well, I think it looks like to some extent these questionable evidence-based revelations are following the list of Trump transgressions. So he started his campaign by making a racial ethnic slur focused on Hispanics, and he had a big boost in negative campaigning with the thing about women and grabbing their private parts. And so you go from one to the other. So these scandals have a political motivation to start with, but nevertheless, they come across serious problems. The problem for the Democrats is they have to decide on a standard to deal with these kinds of situations. In the latter case, it looks like there is not much there because, as is indicated, the Post and other papers knew about the accusation a long time ago and never found credible support. In the case of Northam, there are two things that are clear. One is that no matter what happens, he will be a dysfunctional governor, if he's a governor at all, that he will be weakened. And two, that he did one thing he even admits to. He put the picture in his yearbook page, and he judged it as sufficient to forget it or to admit it, but not to give it the credibility that one would normally give such a transgression. So he shows he's weak on racial issues, even if he's well-intended. And he shows an uncertainty that is pretty certain for everybody else about the future of the leadership of Virginia's gubernatorial office. What Fairfax shows is a fresh face, but a fresh face is going to get the same level of attack of a new person coming in without his own team facing that uncertainty. And we've got to recognize that every time these kinds of issues come up, it pits the fair treatment of blacks or minorities generally with the liberal coalitions of which we are often a part.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I was just calling because we all know that racism has become elevated because of who's in the White House at this particular time. However, I would like to just reach back in history, and if my knowledge is correct, was not the Democratic Party the party of the Klansmen? So now everybody's in an uproar because there just happens to be a picture of a Klansman on a Democratic individual's page.
Well, we could, one could argue, David, that the Republicans of today are not the party of Lincoln, and that the Democrats of today are not the Southern Democrats of the early 20th century, which, and so history notwithstanding, we are looking at a different Democratic Party. And as you said about 15 minutes ago, Professor Morris, that, the Democrats really want to be the standard bearers for doing the right thing. But thank you, David. Go ahead.
Oh, well, when they were doing the wrong thing, the Klan comes up in the emerging Reconstruction period of the post-Civil War South. And right up through the early 20th century, and I can't remember the name of a recent historical study of that, the Klan in the South, Republicans and Democrats, advertised. It wasn't always as secret as it is now. Right in the early, they would put it on their stores, "We're Klansmen." And they didn't always cover their faces. It was a proud thing. They only covered their faces as World War I comes around and they're reborn and the violence becomes more visible and more northern and western, that is in places like Indiana. But no, the Klan wasn't unique to the Democratic Party at any early period in the South, at least.
And the reality is that you only have to reach back as recently as the Tiki Torch marches in Charlottesville. Yeah. There were no hoods there. Everybody's face was shown. But Jesse, I want to go back to this issue about Eastern Virginia Medical School. And you and I are in the news business. We have editors. And, my high school yearbook had an editor, and the college too, but those editors also had adults, we would assume, sober, level-headed adults that would say, "Wait, what? What are you trying to put in the book? Where is that? Or where was that at Eastern Virginia Medical School? And do you believe that the school bears some responsibility for this?
Well, first of all, you have to keep in mind that college kids are never known for making the best decisions.
So, no
matter who's in charge, college kids have never been the paragon of intelligence when it comes to social issues. That you can see that in schools all around the country. Now, I'm not saying all college kids, but we can look at athletics, we can look at social issues, we can look at the fraternity and sorority systems, we can look at a bunch of different areas, and we can see that sometimes college kids are not the best ones with their judgment. Now, two, you're assuming with that question that the adults at the school in the 1890s thought what they were doing was wrong. Keep in mind, blackface was an acceptable form of American entertainment for more than a century. So everyone in the past did not see anything wrong with blackface. People did blackface all the time, and it still leaks over to today. You can't go a month or two without someone somewhere showing up in a photo online in blackface. The Florida Secretary of State just had to resign for a picture of himself showing up in blackface only a few years ago after Katrina.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even with the adults involved, that even having adults involved does not mean that picture wouldn't be in that book. So, I mean, we cannot say that if an adult saw it, that picture would have come out. It was socially acceptable for decades.
And the Klan, too?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the Klan photo, too.
I am from the South. The Klan photos, I mean, honestly, less than two decades ago, back when I was working and living in South Carolina, there was a shop that sold Klan paraphernalia to the public called the Redneck Shop. I went there. I saw it. This is less than 10, 15 years ago. This is, okay, let me think about it. I've been with AP for 25 years. So less than 25 years ago, somewhere in the last 25 years, there was a store in South Carolina that sold Klan paraphernalia, Klan robes, Klan posters, to the general public.
Wow.
So, yes, it would not surprise me that a Klan photo, a picture of somebody in Klan robes, would be acceptable to adults in the South.
Amazing. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Pam, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
You said Pam?
Pam. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I live in Virginia, and I agree with the gentleman that just spoke, your guest. I was living in Norfolk, Virginia in 1984. I can remember we were having a party, just dancing in the cul-de-sac where my grandmother lived. I turned to my right and looked up, and there were police officers and dogs, okay? That's why I do not think this blackface or the Klan uniform that the governor was in, because I believe he was in the Klan uniform. I truly do. And I think that within the next few days, somebody who is digging through their attic right now is going to come up with a picture of him in the Klan dress, without the hood on, but with the hood either in his hand or on his head about to be pulled down. I think in the next few days, we're going to see unequivocally that he is the one in the Klan uniform. And I think that's why he went to I'm the one in the blackface.
Mm.
Because both are bad, okay? But I think if we can here, I think the Klan uniform is just a little above worse than the blackface. They're both bad.
Or maybe just a lot above. So, you've got very bad and you've got horrific. But thank you so much, Pam. I appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Lisa from Silver Spring as we continue this conversation. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
Since 1989, Trees for the Future has planted over 100...
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation about the racist photo and the political fallout from the 1984 Medical School Yearbook of Governor Ralph Northam. Let me go back to the phone lines. Lisa, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. I wanted to just mention to a few callers back when she said they needed to validate the picture. The picture has already been validated from the yearbook. The school has actually come forward already and authenticated that that is in their yearbook emphatically. Also, they also discovered where they, do their superlatives as far as nicknames. His nickname is the Cool Man.
Right.
So this is deeper than just a picture. This goes to the mindset of majority of these leaders that are supposed to be representing you and I and everyone. I know there's another undertone to this that a previous caller mentioned, not to lynch this man. And I, first shook my head when I heard that.
No, did she say lynch or link?
Lynch. She said lynching, like okay. Clarence Thomas.
Okay, go ahead. Anything. Go ahead.
But my thought behind that is she may have a slight point because this is the governor that just came out last week to allow abortion to go to full term to the point where even if the child is born and they need to resuscitate it, the mother still has the right to murder in essence. And I'm not going to get into the politics behind that. But I know that there's another, party that's pushing. They've had these pictures forever. They have all of these Trump cards that they keep in the closet waiting to utilize when the opportunity strikes. So there might be a little validity to what she said, that there's two sides to the coin. It's unfortunate that these old men now are paying for their mindset, and their mindset hasn't changed. They could put on a facade as if they're, for the people, but at the end of the day, when you're 25, you've already grown your foundational roots in terms of your principles and what you stand for and what you believe in. You can sway, but the tree's not going to break. And so it's unfortunate that Virginia's governor, with as high of a population of brown-skinned people, believes and feels this sort of sentiment. It's unfortunate, but he's not alone. He's not alone. And we, as people of color, we need to eventually stop relying on these folks for everything. I don't care that he wore blackface, to be honest.
Right.
I don't care if these people feel the way they feel about us. When are we going to stand up collectively and start...
Well, I think that's part of it now, Lisa. I mean, I think that we are seeing that the Democratic Party collectively is standing up. And to that point, let me see what Professor Morris has to say, because here's... And thank you. Here's the thing. George Wallace evolved, okay, from, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. But now by the time he evolved, he was an old man and not, he was a public figure, but not an elected official. Could the argument be for Northam that he has evolved? Or is that just another story that would pile on to the ever-changing issue that we've heard since Friday?
Well, I think, Wallace tried to redeem himself by not using race publicly, but the national standard had been clear. Race could not be a part of direct public discussion, individual race and specifying race. For this situation, now it's clear that acts of racism cannot be ignored without something. Now, the without something is not always clear. In this case, part of it was telling the truth up front. But another large part of it is being in a position where your racial behavior, if it is bad or if it is hostile, has been recognized. Here, he clearly lied at one point or the other. But there's a little bit more here that we tend to ignore as well, which is that the Democratic Party is taking a stand, but they haven't necessarily set a standard. It may be difficult to do. But these instances, opportunistic scandals and others, will bring these things back to haunt us. And one of the reasons it can is because one of the things we forget about the photo is it was taken, as I understand it, in a state institution for a physician who is eventually to be certified.
And a high-profile
And teaching at the time even had some consciousness of social responsibility for a physician. So that part of the discomfort is that these standards have to be addressed, and they have yet to be addressed in terms of institutional responsibility, in terms of responsibility for taking action when and where these emerge. So it's good to start taking a stand, but at some point we have to face the obligation to set a standard on what is acceptable in terms of interracial misbehavior.
Jesse, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has said, he has repeated the line that we've heard from some, that says that the governor must do what's best for Virginia. We have not heard him say the governor should step down. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, because if he calls for the governor to step down, it's going to be looked upon as a self-serving statement, because of course he would then take the governor's job. It's safe for him just to stay out of it for now, because if he starts advocating for Northrum to be removed, it would look self-serving and bad for him, because he would then take the job. When he can say nothing and let the chips fall where it may, because either way, he either keeps his current job or he becomes governor. And he doesn't lose anything either way. So I can suspect that he has advisors telling him just right now, there's probably no one who doubts what Justin Fairfax wants to happen. Regardless, he wants to be governor. He would prefer for Northern to step down. But why look opportunistic by jumping ahead and calling for his removal just so you can take the job? So I suspect it's more of him just not wanting to look opportunistic and self-serving by calling for Governor Northam's removal. But who knows? I mean, once again, just as soon as this came out, we started hearing the rumors about Justin Fairfax. So maybe, but I should just say, we don't know what's going to happen from this point.
Yeah, we most certainly don't. And to that point, Professor Morris, when do you believe that Northam will step down if he does?
Well, I can't give you a day and a time by any stretch, but I think that one of the reasons that Fairfax is hesitant, and I agree with the last statement, is also because he still probably has friends in the Democratic Party and in Virginia, not necessarily around the country. But I think as they begin to chime in, not on the public record, he will go. So let's imagine what that takes. It takes all of the committees, all of his staff, to let him know that they can't accept him. It also takes a recognition that Fairfax will be damaged if he has to continue as the lieutenant governor, working with such a governor. So it is simply a matter of time that his alliances will inevitably fall apart. So while I could guess a day or time, it won't be long.
What do you think, Jesse? If he decides to step down, do you think it will be sooner or later?
Given that the time for him to resign was probably this past weekend, and he has survived this past weekend, and he survived Monday, it would not surprise me if he tries to hang on as long as possible.
But what determines, that's interesting, that's an interesting phrase. What determines political survival? What, isn't that more about what he decides to do as opposed to what others decide to do? I mean, go ahead.
Keep in mind, he is the only person who can make himself leave this office.
Right.
He has committed no crime. There's nothing that they can do to impeach him from the legislature. The only person's opinion who matters in the end on this is the governor's. He is the only person who knows the timing. He is the only person who can say, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to stay on in the office because I can't run for reelection anyway. So, I mean, in the end, Ralph Northam is the only person who can make the decision on whether he's going to leave or not. And the timing for him to leave was probably this past weekend. Now that this past weekend has passed, and each day, the longer he survives as governor and makes the decision not to leave, it probably becomes easier for him to say in his mind, you know what, I can survive this, I can stay. So the longer he goes, the longer he goes as governor, the less likely it is that he'll ever resign. He'll just serve out his term and then quietly leave the office.
I was thinking earlier, not today and definitely not tomorrow because of the State of the Union, but I was thinking maybe after this week, after the State of the Union, although the other piece of that could be that with the president being as bombastic as he has been, colorful and the like, and I'm being nice, I guess, that may be a distraction, and that maybe the media will then will chase the Trump factor and leave Northam alone. That's a maybe, but honestly, Professor Morris, I think maybe not.
Well, I think he wants to leave at a time when it doesn't look like the mob is pounding on the door.
Yeah.
So he might want to let things die down a little bit. But one little thing, when yes, who can pressure him? I was struck by an interview in which someone asked him if he could still do the moonwalk.
Yeah, during that press conference on Saturday.
And apparently his wife said it was an inappropriate question, which suggested me a couple of things, since spouses don't usually interrupt press conference. It suggests to me he's isolated.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the beginning of the end. But there's certainly a timing issue here, and I can agree that he would want to not look like he's being thrown out instantly. But I don't think, unless something else happens, he can hold on for that long, because ineffectiveness is an inevitability of internal opposition.
Who knows? Maybe we may see her run for office. How about that? Thank you both, Jesse Holland and Dr. Lorenzo Morris. I really appreciate your time. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection.